are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. So managing stress has become a full-time job for many. The stress of finances, employment, education and relationships can weigh heavily and have an adverse effect on men's physical, emotional and psychological well-being. And we are joined on the line by my pastor. I think I'm going to call his name correctly. Muya Mbango. Good morning, my pastor. How are you?
Good morning, Zan. How are you?
I am good. And you? I hope you're well.
I'm categorically flamboyant.
I wonder.
How are things? And how are you doing, Zan?
I am also categorically flamboyant. I'm copying that greeting, Pastor. Can I please copy it? I have to ask.
Please. Permission fully granted.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, you know, Pastor, for agreeing to speak to us and, you know, availing yourself. Before we start, Pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
All right. Shall we pray together? Our dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you because you are God and we are the sheep of your pasture. For in you, we do live and move and have our being. May it be that as we discuss on things eternal, you will bless our hearts through this momentary presentation that we have. I pray that you bless our dear listeners wherever they are. And because of Jesus, we pray with a heart full of thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, we're speaking about all things men and managing stress. It is said, I don't know. Very few men in my life around me, so I can't say if they are struggling with stress, but there are some symptoms there that I see. Do men struggle with managing stress, and why is that?
Okay, so stress is part and parcel of our day-to-day living. It affects both men and women because stress is, you know, it's common around the daily things that we encounter. And by the way, when we say stress, there are many things that are embedded in there. Maybe we, for the sake of the conversation, maybe we even just need to look at what stress really is. So, overly, stress is a response that occurs when an individual perceives a threat or a challenge or anything that demands some kind of coping up, adjusting, you know, and the ability to deal with that varies from one person to the other, from one gender to the other, and men are not exempt because the stress can come from different aspects. I mean, there are environmental stressors such as noise, pollution, crowding, or living in a chaotic environment. But there could also be stressors such as life events, you know, undergoing divorce, losing a job, experiencing death in the family, excuse me, even marriage. Those major life changes could actually be cause of stress. And beyond that, I mean, issues like school, you know, exams, workloads, deadlines, conflict with colleagues, all those are stressors. But the major one, common but not solely exclusive to it, is financial stress. You know, men worry a lot about money, about debt, about financial stability, and all this could be a significant source of stress. In young men, even relationships could be stressors. You know, breakup, difficulty to cope up with a partner, all those issues. There could even be issues of health. You know, you are diagnosed with a condition or a sickness, a chronic one for that matter, that becomes the source of your stress. So over and above, men do experience stress just like women do, except sometimes men would struggle to deal with stress.
So what are typical ways, my pastor, that they men try to manage their stress? Christian men or non-Christian men, because others I know they drink. So that's why I didn't want to say that, you know, because we do have those who don't drink, but other ways besides what we usually see, which is drinking, that, you know, they try and manage this, their stress.
Absolutely. What you have mentioned has become a common norm. By the way, I hope my voice is clear.
You are very clear, my pastor.
I'm conducting a public campaign, so I'm almost losing my voice. Well, what you have raised is what has become common today. A number of men that resort to drinking use that as an escape way, trying to run away from life stressors. So they resort to drinking or any such thing as a way to crowd their minds away from the reality that could be pressing them down. Well, for Christian men, or let me even say for men generally, there are techniques, there are ways that stress can be managed. And this doesn't have to be for Christians only. You know, even non-Christians are susceptible to stressors. But then how do you manage it? So clinical psychologists actually suggest ways how stress can be managed. Of course, we look at also, what does the Bible say? How can we deal with stress from a biblical point of view? But maybe from a psychological point of view, psychology does suggest ways and means of managing stress. One such is physical activity. You know, regular exercise is the powerful stress reliever. Because when you engage in physical activity, like, for instance, jogging, cycling, swimming, or even a simple walk, this can significantly reduce your stress by releasing, you know, endorphins, which are natural mood lifters. And this is tied to physical activity, you know, so it's psychologically and physiologically proven that physical activity will help release, you know, hormones that help you to cope with stress. But then there are also other techniques like deep breathing and relaxation techniques. And, you know, there are major stress levels and there are also mild stress levels. For example, I am a pastor and I find myself sometimes challenged, especially standing before a big audience. This is normal. Even Barack Obama once referred to this. Sometimes you experience that stress of about to deliver a speech to an audience. So that stresses you. How do you deal with that? So some techniques could be deep breathing and trying to relax yourself. So if you practice deep breathing exercises like meditation or progressive muscle relaxation, it can help you to calm down the mind and to reduce stress. But there are several other ways, like, you know, social support, talking to a friend, to a family member, you know, seeking counseling from mental health professionals. And I've seen this working. You will find in the pastor's office, you're seated there, a gentleman or a young lady walks in. Visibly, you can see they are confounded. There's something wrong. They come there and pour their hearts to you. They want to talk to you over an issue. And all you do is listen. Listen to them. Listen to them groan and moan and complain and yell. Give them the due attention. After that conversation, you can visibly see a sigh of relief on their face. They've talked to someone. They've poured their hearts. They've found the confidence. So social support is also very important. And I think in men don't usually tend to talk about their problems. Maybe that's one other way that eats them up. You know, this thing of wanting to be a one-man commando where you think you can soak everything in. I mean, Zanel, men usually want to die alone. They don't easily open up. Well, for ladies, they have their bestie, you know, their chomi. That's a South African way of saying bestie, you know. Yeah, that they will confide in and they'll talk. And it's actually proven that women will live longer because of this ability to share their burdens compared to men who want to absorb and soak in the pressures of life. But then there are also diet, a healthy diet also has a part it plays. in managing stress. So if you eat a balanced diet, which is rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and lean protein, this can contribute to overall well-being and help you manage stress. Because if you avoid things like excessive caffeine and alcohol, which actually does worsen stress. So now we know that drinking alcohol, taking alcohol, is not a stress reliever. Actually, it worsens it. Because when you are back to soberness, the problem is still staggering in your face. So what are you going to do? You're going to drink again and again and again. The problem won't just go away. So even that is not a permanent solution. Then other things also are like adequate sleep. If you prioritize getting enough quality sleep, and the lack of it actually can actually perpetuate stress. So these are some of the ways and means that men can manage stress. Of course, there are many others, you know, having a hobby, involving a leisure activity, setting up your goals and ensuring that you meet your goals, you know, managing your time, you organize your tasks, you prioritize what needs to be done and ensure that you live according to that. You find that you would have taken care of those random levels of stress. So that is it, an issue of how we can manage our stress.
So since these men in my pastor, you know, they struggle with speaking up, they struggle with opening up, what are some of the ways in which this stress, you know, impacts their lives and their daily living? And in fact, basically everyone else around them, you know, because we know that some, I know I'm going to make examples of drinking. I think that's what I've seen most of the time. You know, when they're doing that, you find that in the house now, the money that's supposed to buy food now is lacking because it has bought that. And sometimes when now they're drunk, you know, they become violent and whatnot. So, but what are some of the other ways that it affects their daily living as well as people surrounding them? Oh, we're losing my pastor here. He's back.
Oh, I'm back.
Yes, you're back, Pastor. You may continue.
Or I missed the last part of your question.
Yeah, no, I was asking that, you know, how does it affect their daily lives as well as them as individuals and also bringing it into the family?
So stress, if left unmanaged, can have a significant impact on your daily life and performance. It can actually affect men in many ways, you know, both physically and emotionally. And that is why it is important to note that the impact of stress can vary from one person to the other. Because people don't experience stress the same way, and neither do they get affected the same way. But here are the general ways that stress can affect a person. Number one, physical health. So stress can, in fact, have a significant impact on one's physical health. For men who are experiencing chronic stress levels, they may be at an increased risk of developing various health problems, which may include heart disease, for example, even blood pressure, which can also trigger diabetes. So stress can also weaken the immune system by making an individual more susceptible to illness. So we are dealing with a very serious issue. If you leave your stress unchecked, it becomes chronic, it will have a physical impact on your health. But then stress also does affect our mental health as well, because it's closely linked to mental health issues. So men dealing with high levels of stress are at risk of developing mood disorders such as depression and anxiety, and you don't want to fall in such a trap. Because depression is also another satrap. Anxiety is another satrap of trouble. It can lead to irritability, difficulty to concentrate, and changes in your sleep patterns. And you find yourself suffering from insomnia or excessive sleep, where you, every time you just want to sleep, you know, it's either you don't have the sleep or you find yourself becoming excessively sleepy. Unfortunately, stress also can affect relationships.
True.
Men who experience chronic stress you will notice certain things, like they become less patient, they become flary, hot-tempered, they become emotionally distant. Like, why is this guy isolated? And you as a girlfriend or fiancé or wife, and you start wondering, your partner seems to now be aloof, you know, the way they interact with their family members or their friends, it becomes visibly affected because they are nursing issues that they have not shared with no one, that is pressing them down. It can also, this can also translate to Zanele, how you perform at work. And you know, for a man, you have to work with your hands because you are the head and you should provide for your home. And if you allow stress to really, you know, sink you down, it will definitely get your job. You will find it challenging, firstly, to focus at work and to even make sound decisions or to meet your deadlines, because your stress levels will definitely affect your productivity.
True.
And your job satisfaction. And all these are important. Then, well, sexual performance, digestive problems, muscle tension and pain, behavioral changes, all these are also other ways that stress can significantly press down a man's performance in his day-to-day activities. So we are dealing with a serious issue that we need to find a way of managing.
Is there a better way though, Pastor? You know, for married couples it becomes worse. You mentioned it there, you know. Even certain things, they get disturbed, and we don't want that because it leads to far more greater things, you know. So is there a better way of managing this stress, my Pastor? Because I know we will say pray, but you know, when life is really showing you that situation there, even prayer sometimes, you know, they don't come. You don't even know what to say even when you open your mouth. So what are some of the ways in which you can better manage the stress?
Okay, so I attempted earlier to suggest ways, propose to us from the field of psychology. But the Bible does also hint on how we can deal with stress. Apart from those issues we have listed, physical activity, eating a healthy diet, having enough sleep, you know, managing your time and blah, 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 blah. We find in the Bible, God's people undergoing moments of stress, and a lot of them. One example I can quickly pick is 1 Kings chapter 19, the story of Elijah. Are you there, Zan?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. The story of Elijah. I remember when he received the letter from the queen of Israel, Jezebel, that she was going to kill him. And he ran for his life, went a day's journey, and went to offer a prayer of suicide. Say, Lord, just kill me. Just take my life. I'm not worthy. This is one isolated incidence of stress at play, of fear and anxiety, and how God dealt with his stressed servant in that moment as object lessons for how we can deal with stress. Elijah had lost sense of his self-worth and identity, triggered by the fear of death as imposed by that pagan woman, you know? Even when he wanted to die, when he had given up, God gave him an opportunity to reconsider. So he slept, hoping that he would die in his sleep. But an angel appeared to him and assured him that, you know, you may have given up on yourself, but God has not given up on you. In fact, you are saying you're worthless, but your journey is greater. So you eat. You are not going to starve and die. You're going to eat, and you're going to go ahead and do God's work.
Yeah.
Now, some of the principles from that simple story are that, you know, we are not alone. We are not left alone to deal with the perplexities of life. And significantly, this is the demarcating line between a believer and an unbeliever. The way a believer soaks in stress and how an unbeliever deals with stress is widely different. For a non-believer, obviously they have no hope, it entirely depends on them, how they deal with major pressures of life. You know, it's about them. And if it's beyond what they can cope up with, well, it crushes them entirely. For a Christian, there is an element of faith and hope. At least I know that all things work together for good for those, you know, who love God and who have been called by his purposes. Here I am. Let me give an example of myself. Yep. It is not always rosy. There are times that things don't work out the same way. It could be around school.
True.
You know, you did your part, but, you know, things just didn't work out. So there's a way you can pick up yourself, understanding you did your part and it didn't work out. Sometimes it could also come from church, you know, dealing with members. You know, members are drawn from different backgrounds, you know, those who know how to speak and be heard. But then there are also those who don't care how you feel. They can say anything. So you come from a church meeting, you are confounded, and this has the potential of sinking you into anxiety and that kind of a thing. But you have to remind yourself, this is God's work, and it's God who sent me. And this will not always be the order of day. In fact, our common enemy is the devil. And we know that the devil has a way of throwing mud at us. Things go wrong here and there. But you, because of trusting in God, you know that by God's providence, the Lord will intervene in my situation. So there are many promises in the Bible that we need to make a part and parcel of ourselves as we deal with stress. Number one is that God cares for us.
Yeah.
In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, you cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Then where you are there, you have 1,000 cares to deal with. Obviously, you could be stressing about your, you know, the career, the future of your career, for example. I'm just giving an example.
Yes, sir.
There could be issues of investment, you know, there could be issues of security and all those issues. You can go to bed with a free mind. Not that all those issues have been amply dealt with, but because you trust that the God who has brought you this far will guide you even in the unknown, untried future, trusting that the Lord is with you, and so the future is secure. Then there's another promise in Isaiah 26, verse 3. Seek God's peace. The Bible says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. This is not to say that there are no problems, there are no wrong things, there are no bad omens that before us. But our peace is in trusting in God, that God doeth all things well. The Bible also tells us not to worry in Matthew 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Yeah.
So how can you not worry in the face of worries? It is because you have reached a point where this is beyond me. I'm entirely handing over this burden into the hands of God. And we know that God has not failed us. You know, we are filled with testimonies. Our past history is littered with the fingerprints of God's doing in our lives. I mean, here we are. Did we ever imagine that we would be where we are? We would be who we are today? Did we even choose to take the path that our lives have taken? No, it's entirely at God's providence. So because God has brought me this far, Ebenezer, we can be sure that even what we may not know about tomorrow, it's all taken care of by God. Then the Bible also tells us to be full of thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So we begin to thank God even things are not okay. We praise God because we know he will do all things well. And then we also know that God has a plan for our lives. Today you are here, tomorrow you are there. Today you are down, but tomorrow you'll be up. So we know that the God of the mountain is still the God of the valley. The God of the night is still the God of the day. When things go wrong, he will make them right. You remember that powerful song then?
Yep.
You know? Yeah, one day at a time. Mm. So God has a plan for our lives, for each one of us. Our momentary setbacks don't define us, and they are not permanent. Like Joseph, you can be in the pit, but tomorrow you may be in the palace. Like Daniel, you may be in the den, but tomorrow you are elevated and you become the third in command in the whole entire Babylon. So this is just to say that God has a plan for our lives. And if we take it that way, then we know that even when major stresses like death happen, like divorce happen, like chronic disease happen and whatnot, we can still trust in the divine power of God. The Bible also tells us to seek social support. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So this is both when you are the one who is distressed, and secondly, when it is your friend who is distressed, to have this social support where we look out for you know, the emotional support of our friends. We should be alive to see who among our neighbor is affected. And we should be readily available to talk, to pray, to encourage, to lift them up. If it's within our means, because you'll find someone is stressing over a job, you know, and there are those of us who could be privileged to know people who know people. And if you can help, help out. If it is just merely emotional support, at least be available. Your friend has lost a mother, has lost a sister, a brother, or whatnot. Go to the funeral, you know, attend the funeral. Don't be too busy. Ask for me for permission from work. You can skip a class, at least for once, you will not die. No, go and be available for your friends. Mourn with them, comfort them. In a similar manner, when good things are happening to your friend, don't be jealousy. Don't start there, start brooding. You know, your friend has graduated and you're saying, but me, I've never been to school. Why me, Lord? Be happy for your friend. Mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. This is just to say, be a good social support to your friend. Equally yourself. Don't die alone in the corner. You know, there is this thing of Zanele, a lot of people have issues trusting people.
True.
For the fear that if I share with you what I'm going through, the following day, everyone has shared. Yeah, everyone will know about it. They'll begin talking about it. Well, it's good to be cautious and to be careful. But you see, one spoiled egg does not mean all the eggs in the basket are spoiled. There is always someone who is more mature. There are always men and women of integrity and dignity. And seek them out. Know them out. In every community, there are people like that. You can go to the pastor. At least you are guaranteed. Your spiritual father, your pastor, will give you the audience and the befitting advice. There are also professional counselors in issues of mental health.
Yep.
That could be of help to you.
Mm-hmm.
But even in local church, in local churches, there are those families, those elders and mothers, experienced, you know, whom you know they have the good of the young ones at heart. Take time, go and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure even around the circle of your friends, there are those who say, this one I can't tell. That one is mature. If I talk to them, you know, they are mature enough. They can handle my issue with discretion.
Can't.
So seek them out.
Not knowing. Get
that. Oh, you're laughing. You're not sure.
I'm joking. You know, we should speak about those things there, Pastor. You know, I've always found it interesting that, you know, sometimes you may say that there is no one, but there is somewhere, somehow, that one person, that even when we tell our outmost secrets, you know, no one will tell. Yeah. And there's God as well. Just take it to God. Take it to him in prayer, you know, and then you will be fine. Yeah. But my pastor, you know what? Our time has run out. So thank you so much for this. I'm going to ask that. Can you please pray for the men here in South Africa? I'm not sure in Zambia. The statistics that we have is that the number of people that commit suicide, men are leading in terms of that. People might think it's women, but it's men that are actually committing suicide the most. And we know that some of these things, they stem from the stress, from the depression and whatnot, you know. So I'm going to ask Pastor that, can you please pray for them so that they may find that one person that they're going to speak to, and they may find that healing that is there so that things may get better and they don't end up taking their own lives.
All right, let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we glorify your name at this moment for this wonderful program dealing with stress among men. There couldn't have been an opportune time than today. As we look around about us, it is indeed that men find themselves under a huge load of stress. Because the world judges men by what they are able to provide and what they are able to prove. And this in itself could be a trigger of stress. We want to pray, oh God, because you know all men, you know their ability and susceptibility to cope with stress. My prayer, mighty God, is that you will help each one of us to understand and to appreciate that we are not here by our own doing. There is a divine plan that you yourself has laid out for each one of us. In moments where we stumble and fall, may we look unto the hills from whence comes our help. May all the men find you to be their confidence and their strength. In moments of lack and weakness, may they draw their strength from you and focus on your divine power to salvage them from situations that could be perplexing and nerve-exhausting. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will look upon your children and give them the hope and the faith to trust you. Much more, to know that the major changes of life that could be stress triggers do not happen by accident. There is an enemy of our souls who finds delight in the misery of human beings. And when such happens, oh God, may they look to you knowing fully well that you do all things well. So may you bless every man, bless their financial capacity, give them the physical health to team strong and be able to do their appointed work. May you give the men healthy relationships that they may thrive where they are loved and where they love. I pray, oh God, all this in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ with a heart full of thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen and amen. My pastor, thank you so much. I hope we're going to be having you back soon. That was a lovely session, and you know, thank you for availing your time.
Thank you for having me, Zanelle. God bless you and blessed regards.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.